Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 150. That's the last psalm in the Bible, Psalm 150. Kind of hold your finger there. As Billy talked about earlier, starting a new sermon series today called Hallelujah Living. Hallelujah Living. And today's message is Created to Praise. Let's pray. Father, you are worthy of our praise. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would come, speak in power and authority, change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk a second about that word hallelujah. If you travel the globe and some of you have done some of that with being in the military or whatever. And if you travel the globe and for hundreds of different languages, there's a word that is almost universal in any language, any place in the world. And that word is hallelujah. And it's the translation hallelujah comes from two Hebrew words that are put together. The first word means to praise, to boast in, to shine forth, to be worthy of praise, or to be commended. And the second word that's put together to make hallelujah means Jehovah, the Lord. And that's a very special way of referring to the Lord, meaning that he is self-existent. He's the eternal one. It has no beginning and no end. And so you put those words together and we get hallelujah, which roughly translated means praise the Lord. And so wherever you travel throughout the world, you'll see this word almost universally throughout the world. So we're going to be talking about praising the Lord, hallelujah living. How do we do that in our life? So now there's a difference as we begin to talk through this. And each week for the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about different attributes of praise. I preached a similar sermon series about 5 years ago, but this is going to be a little bit different, but similar. But we're going to be looking at different attributes of praising. There's a difference between giving thanks and praising. Giving thanks is in response to something very specific. I'm thankful that I have enough food to eat. That's a very specific thing to do, and that's giving thanks is good, but praise is something a little bit different. Praise is saying, I'm going to praise you even if I don't have enough food to eat. It's praising God for who he is and what he has done and is doing and will do. Just because of his character, we are praising him without regard to our circumstances. So Psalm 150, let's see what the psalmist has to say about praise. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him for the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with tambourine and dancing, praise him with the strings and flute, praise him with the clash of cymbals. Kind of sounds noisy, doesn't it? With a clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It almost sounds like the psalmist is trying to tell us something. In six verses, this entire psalm is six verses, we are called to praise God 12 times in six verses. Sounds like he's trying to tell us something. As I kind of broke this passage down a little bit more, as you look down at the different things that he's saying about praise, the first thing he says is where we're to praise him, in his sanctuary and in his heavens. It basically, did you know that we don't have to be in church to praise God? Did you know that you can praise God driving down the road? That you can praise God in your home? You can praise God at work. You can praise God at the grocery store. You can praise God at the bank. You can praise God when you're playing golf. You can praise God at any place in your life. So he's telling us basically that wherever we are, we are to praise Him. He's telling us why we are to praise Him. And again, this is separate from our circumstances, wherever we find ourselves. He's saying we praise God because of His acts of power, because God is all-powerful. He can do anything that He wants to do. And because of His surpassing greatness, He tells us to praise Him. Because God is God and we're not. He's calling us to praise Him. So we've got the where, we've got the why, and we've also got now the how. He tells us to praise Him with trumpet, harp, lyre, tambourine. Is that how you pronounce that silly word, lyre? That's I'm not sure what that even looks like, but anyway, it's an instrument. Tambourine, dancing, strings, flute, clash of cymbals, resounding cymbals. Now, I mean, let's be honest. If all of that was happening in here on Sunday morning, it would make some of us uncomfortable, wouldn't it? Come on now. Be honest. That's what the psalmist says to do. Make noise. People need to know that you're praising God. Now, I'm not saying that you can't praise God without a tambourine. I don't believe that's what he's saying. But what he's saying is the world needs to know that you're praising God, that you have a God and that you're proud of it. And you see Him as worthy of praise, let them know. And then he's saying, he tells us who should praise Him. Basically, everybody take a deep breath with me. Now blow it out. You're supposed to praise Him. If you have breath in your lungs, you're the who. Every Sunday, when we take up the offering, and when we bring the offering back up, we sing a song. Many people know it as the doxology. Another name for it is the Gloria Patri. It was written by a man named Thomas Ken in 1674. So for 400 or 500 years, many Christians have been singing this song as a response of praise. And I tell you, Tommy, I didn't ask Tommy's permission to say this, but I don't think he'll mind. I remember your dad. Tommy Foster, Eudene. And I remember I had just started coming to church here. At that time, I was not even the pastor. And I remember your dad walking down those offering plates. And I remember, you remember this, Cheryl? It's the first time I'd ever seen it. When we were singing the doxology, and Eudene would lift those plates up to the cross before he set it on the altar table. And that touched me. That stirred me deep. And I don't know if you noticed, but when I receive the plates, I lift them up. It suddenly made me realize that we're praising God for these gifts that He's given us. That's why we sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. It means he's more worthy of praise than even the angels. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the doxology that we sing. And I hope that begins to have new meaning to you than when we do it on Sunday mornings. I want us to look at, I'm setting the table today. We're going to get a lot deeper into this word of praise the next several weeks. But I'm just kind of setting the table for us to begin to see maybe the significance of praise. And the first thing I want us to look at today is that praise is our purpose. Many people ask the question, what am I here for? What was I created for? What's my purpose in life? I believe with all my heart, and Scripture points to this over and over and over. I've just given three scriptures, but it's throughout Scripture. Our purpose is to bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That's our purpose in life. And we do a lot of different things in our life, and we may get there different ways. Not every one of us is called to be a preacher and do that, but we are to bring praise to God. Look at these passages. Colossians 1:16. All things were created by Him, God, and for Him. Isaiah 43. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. He created us for His glory. How are we doing with that? Is our lives bringing Him glory? The things that we do in that secret place, that place that no one else knows about, Is it bringing him glory? That's why we were created. Listen to the Peter talking about us, the church, being, he says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. In other words, it's just not some random group of people. God has chosen us, the church, his people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's who we are. So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're his people. We're a chosen people. We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and we have a purpose. What's our purpose? To praise God, to bring him glory. Are we challenged by this? I know I am. As I am working on this sermon series, I'm challenged to the core. And I'm asking myself, how am I doing? How am I doing with this life of praise? Second thing, praise produces victory. Now, I want you to begin, as we walk through this series on praise, I want you to try to think and to see with spiritual eyes, not just with our physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. What's praise? What's happening through praise behind the scenes in the spiritual realm? Now, I'm going to summarize this. You need to read it because it's an awesome story in 2 Chronicles 20 about King Jehoshaphat. Now, God had freed the nation of Israel from the Egyptians, and he had brought them into the land he had promised, this promised land flowing with milk and honey and all of these things. Well, King Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel, and he hears this report that three big, humongous armies are marching against him, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites. These three massive armies are on the march to take over this land that God had promised and delivered to his nation Israel. And so Jehoshaphat is worried. He doesn't know what to do. So he's a good king, and he decides to fast. He calls on his people. He calls on the nation of Israel to fast and to make inquiry of the Lord. What do you want us to do, Lord? You've promised us all this land, and you've delivered, and now we've got these three massive armies that are coming to take what you have given to us away. What would you have us to do? So he fasted, and he inquired of the Lord. And as he was doing that, a man was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied to Jehoshaphat, and said that the Lord said, don't be afraid. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. And so, and he goes on to say that you won't even have to, God's going to defeat these armies, and you're not even going to have to fight them. And so, but with that knowledge, and God, I mean, Jehoshaphat hears this, and he's trusting that this man has heard from the Lord. And so he says to go ahead and march down towards these armies. So you got these three armies coming against Israel, and you've got King Jehoshaphat has heard this word that this battle is not yours. The Lord's going to take care of it, but he begins to march out to meet these armies. Can you just imagine that time that he's marching out? It's like, okay, God, I'm trusting you here. You said this wasn't, we're marching out now, Lord. He begins to march out, and he assigns men at the front of the line as they march out to meet these armies. He assigns men to sing praises to God. Can't you just imagine this one little tiny army marching out to meet these three massive military powers, and he's got these men out front singing praises to God. People probably thought he'd lost his mind. Guess what? The three armies, as they're waiting, they turned on each other. And they began to kill one another. And so when the nation of Israel showed up, when Jehoshaphat and his army showed up, all they find is dead bodies scattered on the battlefield. And they walk up and they're all dead. And he hadn't lifted a finger. And it said that it took 3 days for him to carry off all the plunder that was left over from these three armies. 3 days. And so they're carrying off all of this stuff that's left to them by these armies who've wiped each other out. And then it says on the fourth day, what do you think Jehoshaphat did? He praised God. He's carrying off the plunder for 3 days, and on the fourth day he praises God. Praise produces victories. God, there's something in the supernatural that when we begin to praise God, He breaks chains in us. This is a silly example, but it's maybe a little more close to home. It may be silly to you, but it wasn't to me. I've been kind of doing some kid stuff the last couple of weeks or so. Helping my kids with different projects and stuff. Which, by the way, I'm really thankful that I'm able to do that. But Kirby and Ryan, they've got this house that's sold, and there's, while the cold weather that we had a few weeks ago busted a water line from the main water meter going into the house. And we had just, because it was so cold, we just shut the water off and we were waiting for it to warm up. Well, they've got a contract on the house now, so I've got to get it repaired. Let me tell you, if you want to see something funny, watch me work on plumbing. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just like, oh, I wonder if this would work. You know, let's cut this thing off and see if that'll work, you know. And so you got to picture yourself with, I dug the hole, it's down, and of course it's been leaking, so it's mud. It's not just dirt, it's mud. And so I'm digging, and I got mud all over me, and I've got this hole, and I'm trying to dig underneath these pipes, and I get down there, and I find the break, and it's because of the way it's where it breaks and everything, I don't have a clue how to fix it. I thought it was going to be real easy, just come in there and cut out a little piece of PVC and splice another piece on, and I'd be good to go. No, it's copper, and it's, if you've ever worked with plumbing, you know what I'm talking about. But it was just a mess. And so after two or three trips to Lowe's, and I take it back, oh, man, that's not going to work. And then I make another trip to Lowe's and get something else, and I come back, oh, that's not going to work. And then I tried to patch it the best I could, and then I covered it all back up thinking, okay, cross your fingers. I think it's going to hold, you know. And Ryan called me the next day and goes, it ain't holding. And I'm at my wit's end, because I know the next call is to a plumber, and I don't think we have any plumbers in here, but I know that's going to be expensive. I'm not very much, but I'm cheap, okay? I work cheap. And so I'm thinking, man. So I went to Abilene Plumbing that I supply. I knew some guys. I went to a friend of mine who's a plumber, and I'm asking, hey, how do I do this stuff and everything? And I've got this stuff, and I'm like, okay, maybe, sort of, kind of. And I'm preparing, in the midst of all that, I'm preparing this sermon series on praise. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in my hands, and I've got the water shut off, so my hands are just literally just caked. There's mud up between my fingers and everything, and it's all over my clothes, and I'm just sitting there in this hole, this muddy hole, and I can't even rinse my hands off because I've got the water shut off because I got this pipe cut out. And I try to wipe it on rags, and it just won't get it off, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, Lord, I praise you. That's what I said. I said, Lord, if I am successful and I fix this plumbing today, I'm going to praise your name. And if it's a mess and I can't get it fixed, I'm going to praise your name. That's what I'm saying. I'm sitting out there in the middle of the yard with this mud on my hands, and people driving by probably thought I'd lost it, but I'm talking to myself. And I really wasn't talking to myself, but I was talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I praise you because you hung on a cross for me. It's a lot more important than this stupid little plumbing thing. I praise you because you're God, because you can do anything you want to, because you've blessed me. And it does it, Billy, when you were asking us, I couldn't do it. What you requested of us in the prayer time, I couldn't do it. He said, pick one thing to praise God for. And all these things were just flooding my mind. And I'm like, Lord, I'm cheating. I can't just tell you one thing. I'm just praising Him for all of this stuff in my life. For the ability, to have the ability to dig that hole and have that mud caked all over me. I praise you. And I just praise God. And I'm you're going to think I'm making this up just for effect, but I'm not. 10 minutes after I prayed that prayer of praise, the plumbing problem was fixed. I'm not kidding you. I'd been trying to get this. I didn't know how to do it. I had a little 3-inch piece that I gap that I'm trying to get something that doesn't bend, a piece of copper tubing up in there and splice this thing. If you know how to work on plumbing, you're going, well, moron, you should have just done this. But I didn't know. I'm like, how do I get this stiff piece of pipe in this little, I don't have, it doesn't bend. And I'm pushing and I'm afraid I'm going to break it somewhere else. 10 minutes after I prayed that prayer, and I said, Lord, if you help me fix this plumbing, I praise you. And Lord, if you don't help me fix this plumbing, I still praise you. I was covering up the hole. And it was done right. And all of a sudden, it's like that pipe just went, poof. It just popped in there. When we praise God and it's from our heart and we really pray, and that doesn't mean that we're never going to have problems and that He's going to solve every problem that we ever have, but I'm just telling you, something in the spiritual realm breaks when we praise God. You cannot be depressed. You've heard me say this before. You cannot be depressed praising God. Now, you may be so depressed that you can't get up the gumption to praise God, but you can't praise God and be depressed. The two are incompatible. Third thing, praise is our response to God's mercy. And I'm just telling you, for myself, I praise God because He's changed my life. It's not something just that I check off my checklist, but I understand that I am a broken sinner, that I am deserving of wrath, and I have received mercy. And I praise Him for that. Praise is our response to God's mercy. And I'm not going to go through it, but you probably are aware of the passage of the 10 lepers. And it's in Luke 17. And the 10 lepers, leprosy in Jesus' day was kind of kind of like AIDS today. I mean, people saw that as a really horrible thing, and nobody wanted to be around those people, and so on and so forth. 10 lepers show up to Jesus, and He heals all 10 of them, and they all scurry away, glad that they're healed, and one of the 10 came back and praised God and thanked Jesus for healing. One out of the 10. So I guess I would ask, are we part of the 9 or are we part of the 1? Praise is our response to God's mercy in our lives. Fourth thing, praise invites God's response in your life. So to praise God, the act of us praising is our response. And when we praise, it invites God's response into our lives. And I want a couple of passages here. Psalm 50. He who sacrifices praise offerings honors me. And He prepares the way so that I may show Him the salvation of God. There's something that happens that breaks in the spiritual realm when we praise God. God is stirred by that, and He acts in that. In Psalm 22:3, and now I'm reading the King James Version because it's worded differently in different versions. But in the King James Version, it says 22:3, Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. It's something when we praise God, God stirs and inhabits that. He moves, and we are inviting His response into our life. I don't know about you, but that makes me smile. That gives me hope. No matter what I face, when I can muster the response of praise, I know that God hears that and He moves. And then the final thing, Christ alone is worthy of our praise. Christ alone is worthy of our praise. I just want to, the thing that separates the Christian doctrine from all other religions is, number one, that Jesus died and rose again. Buddha, you've heard me say this before, Buddha's in the grave. A few years ago I saw in the paper they were traveling around the world with a bone from Buddha's finger, and people were coming and worshiping this bone from his finger. I'm just like, we don't have a bone from Jesus' finger to worship because the tomb is empty. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we don't have a traveling Jesus bone. because he's alive. It's different. It separates us. And I hear this. I want to ask you to take a word out of your vocabulary today. And that word is religion. Because you know what? Religion didn't hang on a cross for you. A lady that was a friend of ours, friend of a friend's mother, asked me to go and visit with this lady about a relationship with Christ a few years ago. And so I went, and this was an older lady, and we visited and all. And she kept the whole time, I kept saying, "Do you have a relationship with Jesus? You know, do you want to talk about that?" and that sort of thing. And she kept talking about religion. I mean, for 30 minutes, that's all she talked about was religion. "Well, when I was a kid, you know, we used to have, you know, we'd have these tent revivals, and, you know, we'd go that, and I was pretty religious when I was young, but I hadn't did this and that." And I'm listening to it for a long time, and I said, "You know, you keep talking about religion. I'm not asking you about religion. I'm asking you about Jesus. Has he changed your life? Do you understand what he has done for you? Not, you know, the church doesn't save us. Doing things a certain way doesn't change us. Being good doesn't save us. Religion doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. Christ alone is worthy of our praise." Now, the Apostle John, I'm going to kind of hit through this quick. I really encourage you to read Revelations 4 and 5 because the Apostle John got a vision of heaven. And he recorded it in Revelation. Revelation 4 and 5 is just kind of, I'm going to hit the highlights here. But he sees this vision of this throne. And he sees someone seated on the throne. And he sees later that it's this lamb who was slain is seated on the throne. He doesn't see that at first. But ultimately it is the lamb. And then he sees 24 more thrones surrounding this one throne, and it's 24 elders that have these crowns upon their head, and they're seated around the throne. And then he sees four creatures surrounding the throne, and here's what they're saying: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And then it says that the 24 elders, they fall down before the Lamb of God, and they cast their crowns. They take their crowns off, and they cast their crowns to the feet of the one who is seated on the throne. And then they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Then John says that he sees 10,000 times 10,000 angels. That's a lot. I'm not real good at math, but I've got a calculator. That's a lot. He sees 10,000 times 10,000 angels encircling the throne, singing this in a loud voice: "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then it says in verse 13, "Then I heard every creature in heaven," everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Remember our passage today. "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" And it says the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. They worshiped the Lamb. We sing a song in this congregation. We sing this song occasionally. And I wanted to, instead of the praise team playing it this morning, I wanted to just play it for you. And it's based on this passage of Scripture out of Revelations 4 and 5. And I want you to, if you would, just as this song plays, it's just the audio, but if you would close your eyes and just, I want you to just picture yourself there in this big sanctuary of praise that's taking place. In this song. Go ahead and play that. If you just close your eyes. Could you see it? Could you see it in your mind? I want to invite our ushers to. We've got a 40 days praise booklet that I want to pass out to you. If you guys will come, I just really feel like the Lord is challenging us to praise Him, to be a praising people, to be a praising church. Go ahead and just start passing those out. There should be enough for everybody. As you get these booklets, what it is starting this Wednesday for 40 days, which will take us through Easter Sunday, I just challenge you to make each day a day of praise. And there's a scripture for each day for 40 days. And there's some room in there if you want to, if the Lord's speaking to your heart and you want to make some notes on that booklet, that's yours to keep. So beginning Wednesday for 40 days, I just encourage you to praise Him. If you feel like praising Him, praise Him. If you don't feel like praising Him, praise Him. See what God does with that. See what God does with that. There's a difference between thanking Him and praising Him. Praise Him for who He is. Not just for what He's done, but for who He is. While they're passing those out, I want to read this psalm again that we started the service off with. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's God's call to our church, not just for the next 40 days, but to be very specific in the next 40 days to praise Him. And let's see what God would do with that in our own lives and in our church. As those are continuing to make their way around, I want to ask the praise team to come up. Jesus Christ, you can't praise God if you don't know Him and you don't recognize what He's done for you. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord and Savior of your life, I invite you to come and talk to me this morning. Don't leave this place without doing that. In just a few minutes after we close with this song, we're going to do 5 baptisms. So hang on. And you know what? I know it's tempting to slip out. Man, if we can't get excited about people coming to Jesus, we need to check, everybody check their pulse. I mean, we should be, as God's people, it says in the Word that the angels rejoice when someone says yes to Jesus. So if the angels are rejoicing, I think we ought to be rejoicing. So I invite you to stay for that, and let me pray. Father, I thank You that You alone are worthy of our praise. There is nothing that can separate us from You and Your love for You, for us. So, Lord, I just thank You that You are worthy. And I thank You, Father, that you have created us for praise, and that you are patient with us. Father, teach us to be about hallelujah living. Let that be every breath that comes out. May it be praising You, God. And as Billy said, to not get wrapped up in the negativeness of our lives, the stuff that we struggle with. But let us praise You with every breath. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand as we close with the...
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider
Be seated for just a second. Jennifer, come on out. Are your family where they can see? Go ahead and go down one more. You guys want to come up here where you can see? Yeah, all you family, y'all come up. Just the family right now. I'll invite the rest of you up here in just a second. All right. Okay, Jennifer, we have already asked the question, but I'm just going to do it again. Okay. You repent of your sin,
yeah.
And you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart,
yeah.
And you want to be baptized in that faith.
Yeah.
Amen. So if you will sit down right there, hold your nose. Jennifer, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just stay, keep your seat right there, where it's warmer.
Okay.
All right, if y'all come in here and put a hand on her, I'm going to pray for her. Yeah, awesome. All right, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you have said yes to Jennifer and she has said yes to you. God, I pray that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit, that from the top of her head to the tip of her toe, God, that you would make her like you. You would wash her as white as snow. I thank you, Father, I thank you for her family, and we praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you've got some rails right there and towel. All right, Shauna. Now, because they're like so hard to keep up with, I threatened to call them Stump 1, Stump 2, Stump 3, Stump 4. We got the Stump Girls, but we won't do that. Shauna. Shayna. Shayna, okay. Would you step on that where everybody can see you? Okay, Shayna, and I'm going to ask this of you and all your sisters as well. These girls have been asking for Jesus have asked Jesus in their heart and been asking to be baptized for some time, and we talked this week, and they have made that decision that they want to be baptized. So Shayna, do you remember we talked about that word sin? Do you ask God to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And do you want to ask Jesus into your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. If you'll step down there and sit down and hold your nose, and Dad's going to help me. Shane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're going to pray for all of y'all at the end. So if you'll pass the sister. Who's Melissa is next, I think. You got it? Okay, Melissa, I'm going to ask you the same questions. Do you want God to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And you want Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Amen. If you will step right there and sit down, hold your nose. And Melissa, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jenny. Jenny, do you want God to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior? Amen. You want to be baptized this morning?
Yes.
Amen. All right. You can feel sit and hold your nose. Jenny, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christina. All right, there we go. All right, and we'll ask you the same question. Do you want God to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
And you want Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized this morning?
Yes.
Amen. If you'll sit and hold your nose. Christina, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Y'all come back out here. You can just step. You won't have to sit down and get wet again. Yeah, y'all stand right there where we'll all. And y'all come in. Anybody that wants to come in and pray for these girls. Oh, or you can sit down. That's okay. All right. Let everybody kind of make their way up. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these girls. I thank you for the innocent hearts that just, Father, they may not know all the answers, but they know you, and they want you, and they have said they want you in their heart. And Father, I pray that you come and you would dwell inside of them, and that they would grow up to be strong young women of the faith, God, that they would just ooze of Jesus, Father, everywhere they go, that you would just make them into the young ladies you've called them to be. Father, just bless them and fill them with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. Go and praise God this week. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. Be careful. Be careful. There's steps.
And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great.